I want to spend just a few moments. Eric, I'm good. I'm going to reference some scripture this morning. We'll leave the lights down low. I'm going to reference some scripture this morning, but we're not going to do an expository study on any of the word. Today's all about the baptism, which in turn is all about the love of Jesus, which is in turn all about the love of the Father. They're all intertwined. I talked with Gabby and Izzy for a little while before church and just kind of shared some stuff with them about the significance of today and what today is all about. And I believe that there are three aspects to baptism. I believe that there's a baptism from something. I believe that there's a identification in baptism, and then I think there's a baptism to something. And all of those are extremely significant in our life. And I will reference a few scriptures just to for you to go back, study later, look at those. I likened it with the girls. I try to illustrate stuff that makes sense to us. Jesus talked about farming. He talked about wheat. He talked about vineyards and stuff like that. I talk about cattle and horses and stuff that's in my world. But as I was talking to the girls, I said, I want you to understand that the baptism ceremony, and I used the word with the quotation marks, the baptism ceremony is more than just a symbolic ceremony. I used the illustration that me and my wife have been together for 41 years now. We're about to hit 41 years, been married for 38. It's been a hot minute. But before we got married, before we had a wedding ceremony, we so much fell in love with each other and we purposed in our hearts. And she was a child bride. She was, just kidding. She was 18 when we got married, but we started dating when she was 15 years old. We were about high school sweethearts. And after a period of time of dating, we knew this was it. Even as young kids, we knew this was it. But she had this, Larry, she had this problem, and its name was Jane Williamson, you know. That was her basketball coach. And I wanted to give her an engagement ring really bad. And we went and bought an engagement ring, but we couldn't give it to her. I couldn't give it to her until after her senior year last basketball game. So that's when she got the engagement ring. My point in that is that we said yes to each other in our hearts before we ever walked down the aisle in that little Methodist church in Temple, Georgia, and took our vows together. We set our vows to each other. And I, as I talked with Gabby and Izzy, I said, you know, you girls have said yes to Jesus. Y'all have asked him to come into your hearts. But that doesn't make today any less significant. Because on August 27th in 1983, when I walked down the aisles of that little Methodist church in Temple, and I declared my vows to her, and I put a ring on her finger, and she put a ring on my finger, and we said yes to each other for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and health, and all those vows that we intensely meant that we'd already purposed in our heart before. But it made it, there was a sealing that took place. I don't mean C-E-I-L-I-N-G, I mean S-E-A-L-I-N-G, a sealing that took place. And it was significant. And I told the girls, I said, today there's a sealing that will take place. There's a sealing that will take place in your life. And as I began to think about these three aspects of of baptism, I think there's a baptism from something. The best Old Testament types that I can think of with baptism that really just have always come to my mind and my heart, the children of Israel, is there in the book of Exodus, and God's bringing them out of years of captivity, 400 years of captivity. God's bringing them out of Egypt, and they come to the Red Sea, and most of you know the story. You come to the Red Sea, and they're trapped. The Egyptians' army is on one side, and everything that it represents, the oppression, in our instance, it would be the sin curse that we're all born into. All of this that is there to keep us in bondage. And they come to this place, and there's nowhere else to go. They've got the Red Sea right here. They've got the Egyptian army behind them right here. And God supernaturally opens the waters up to the Red Sea. And the word in the story tells us that they cross on dry ground. And as they cross, and we've all seen when I was a kid, man, the Ten Commandments and all of that stuff, and Charlton Heston and all of this. And the sea opens up, and the children of Israel walk across. And as they finish walking through this baptism, if you will, then the sea enclosed on the Egyptian army that was chasing them. And the word says that it wiped out the Egyptian army to such an impact that they were never a threat to Israel again. And the baptism that we enter into with the Lord is a baptism from stuff. In the book of Romans chapter 6, if you take any notes, just jot that down. In the book of Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul talks about us being, if we are baptized into Christ, we are also baptized into his death. If we're baptized into his resurrection, we're also baptized into his death. And not only did Jesus die for us, Jesus died as us. And so he, in our stead, came into that place where he bore our sin on Calvary's cross, and he took that sin debt upon him. And so as I'm baptized not only into his resurrection life and his newness, but I'm baptized into his death on the cross. So that means that this sin nature that I was born with is buried with Christ. And so as I'm baptized in this, as you girls, and I told the girls, and Marty and I were having a similar conversation last night, as I'm baptized into him. I love the phrase, if you read that in Romans 6, it says, we are baptized into Christ. It doesn't even say we were baptized with him. It doesn't even say next to him, around him, near him, in a good proximity. It said we're baptized in him. In him. And so this sin nature that has plagued us since Adam is dead. It has been removed of its authority and power in our life. So that's what we're baptized from. It's, you know, we used to, in all the baptisms we've had through the years, whether it's here or wherever, and all that stuff, and we talk about dead Egyptians, man, dead Egyptians, dead Egyptians. How many times we jumped up and shouted about dead Egyptians? But there's truth and there's reality to that. It's that sin curse, is the power of it, the teeth of it are removed. It's broken. It's broken. It's broken. And so as I look in that, we're baptized from something. And then I begin to think about the second aspect of baptism to me, and that's our identity. We're identified with something. We're identified with something. I mentioned a while ago about the circumcision with the children of Israel. That, hey, just for everybody, FYI, that was a word from the Lord. If you didn't feel the weight of it, that was a word from the Lord. I feel like there are people that you've got, your kids are not babies, but you need to dedicate them to the Lord. I really do. Let the Lord speak to you. But I felt like that was a word from the Lord. I felt a real weight on that when he released that. But with the circumcision, it was an identification thing. I love something that Marty, I heard him say it the first time we went to Honduras together, and we were at the city dump in Tegucigalpa, and we were ministering to the people there that live in the dump. And he made a statement. I've heard him make it many times since then, but he made a statement. He said, once you see it, you can't unsee it. Once you see it, you can't unsee it. Perhaps one of the most significant images that happened during the Vietnam War was, I think it was a cover of one of the magazines, and it was a little naked Vietnamese girl, and she was, you know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you, Steve, as I say that, and she was a little naked Vietnamese girl, and she's running on dirt road, and she was crying and screaming in terror for everything that was happening. And that started moving a nation where it was like, man, there's got to be some kind of resolution to this. And once you see it, you can't unsee it. The song that we just sang, Pieces, it talks about his love is not ashamed to be seen with us. It's not ashamed to be identified with us. It's not ashamed to be identified with us. And one of the aspects of baptism is the identification thing. Because you are publicly, just like one of the aspects of a wedding ceremony, as I am declaring to the world, this is my wife. She's declaring to the world, I choose him. Sorry, all you guys, I chose him. That's what she's declaring to the world. And when we come in and we publicly come to a place to where we're saying, I am being identified with Christ, you can live a life of less than, but you'll never be able to unidentify. Can I say that again? You, as a free moral agent, have the opportunity to live a life of less than, but you will never be able to unidentify. This is going to sound weird, but I think it'll hit home. Y'all all remember the story of when Peter denied Jesus three times? Everybody remembers that, right? Coming out of the Garden of Gethsemane, they arrest Jesus. They carry him, I think it was to Caiaphas' house. And he's there in the courtyard. Peter and one of the other unnamed disciples, they come in. The other disciple knew somebody, so they let him in, and they're in the courtyard. The word says that it was cold, so they were warming their hands by the fire and all of this stuff. And Peter had been saying, Lord, I'll never deny you. You know, I love his personality. He's just so bold and so confident. He says, God, I'm not going. He said, he looks around at the other 11 and says, these jokers may, but I will never. And Jesus looked at him with love and not with judgment, not with anger, not with anything. He said, man, Peter, he said, dude, I love you, but you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. Tonight you're going to deny me three times. And we know the story. You know, he comes in and the little servant girl says, oh, you're one of the disciples. Say, no, not me. You got me mistaken and all of this stuff. And we know the story that he denies Jesus three times. Then they lock eyes and Peter runs out and weeps bitterly because when he looked in the eyes of Jesus, he didn't see judgment. He saw love. Even though he had denied him three times, he saw love and it just broke his heart. But there's one aspect of this story that we tend to not recognize. I love the fact that a little servant girl recognized Peter as one of his disciples. Because I want to tell you something, guys. Once you get marked, you're marked. Once you get marked, you can live like hell, but there's still a mark on your life. Once you identify with Christ, you can do and you can turn and you can run the other way, but there's still something on you that looks and feels and even smells like the prodigal son. And not only is it recognizable to the Father, but it's recognizable to the world. And so I love this aspect of baptism that we're identifying ourselves with Christ. We're coming in and we're saying, he's my Lord and he's my Savior. And I've said yes to him. And I'm going to spend the rest of my life being a kingdom man. Above everything else. Above me being a businessman, above me being having a farm, above me being a patriarch of our family and household and all of that stuff, above me, anything that I do or go or accomplish in life, everything else is secondary to the fact that I am a kingdom man. And I'll spend my life being marked as a kingdom man. I think about the baptism of Jesus and when Jesus came. Y'all all remember everything that was going on with the baptism of Jesus. John the Baptist was the forerunner, and he was out and he was preaching in the Judean wilderness, and he was declaring that the Messiah is coming, the Messiah is coming. Get ready, prepare the king's highway out of Isaiah and all of this. And he was baptizing a baptism of repentance. He was baptizing a baptism from something. He said, turn from your sins, repent from your sins, be baptized because the king's coming. And we know the greatest prophetic words that are ever spoken. He sees Jesus, he said, behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. But then Jesus comes up and he says, baptize me, John. And John said, I'm not worthy to baptize you. He said, do it anyway. Now this wasn't a baptism from something, because there was no need for Jesus to be baptized for a baptism of repentance, because he had never sinned. And so he wasn't getting baptized from anything. But yet he was coming in and he was identifying himself as the Messiah, because Father God had spoke a word to John and told John, he said, the one that you see the Spirit descending upon and remaining on him, he's the one. And so he comes in and he says, baptize me. And John baptized him. And when John baptized him, and he came out of the water, it said that the Spirit came upon Jesus. One of the Gospels actually says it was in the bodily form of a dove. My daddy would never shoot a dove his entire life. My father never shot a dove his entire life. Because he said, man, the Holy Spirit, I can't be killing that. Not that he was thinking a dove was the Holy Spirit, but it was so symbolic to him. He said, I can't kill that. You know. All I got to say, Saturday before Labor Day, they better watch out at the hunting lease. But he came in, and Jesus identified himself as the Messiah. And after he was baptized and came out of the water, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him and rested upon him, then the Father from heaven, Father God, said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Everybody around there, they heard Father God putting his seal and his sign and said, this is him. This is him. This is him. When Tyler walked in with his son a while ago, they may have had him covered with warmth and all that, but it wasn't covered out of shame. I said, that's my son. That's my son. I've never seen a parent of a newborn and been ashamed in it. He said, that's my son. And it was an identification thing. What's his last name? Carter. He's like, of course it's Carter. Why? You would not dare him, not name him anything else, would you? You wouldn't name him Pitts. You know, David's an awesome guy. I got a man crush on David. I'm going to name him Pitts. No. It's my son. So I'm putting my name. I'm giving him my name. There's an identification, and he'll go through his whole life. We had two daughters. Both our girls are married, grandkids. They both got different last names and all that stuff. But you know what? They're still my girls. It's my girls. There's an identification place. And part of baptism, part of one of the elements of baptism is there's an identification, and once you see it, you can't unsee it. Gabby, once you enter into that water and you get immersed and his Spirit comes upon you, it's a seal that's on you. I'm not saying anything negative or anything, but if, let's just say hypothetically speaking, you had some years of wandering, his seal would still be on you. Now, we're declaring there won't be any. I mean, Jess is like, they better not be. Don't receive it. We'll receive the power. Y'all know what I'm saying, though? Hypothetically speaking, that seal would still be upon you, because that's the identification aspect of baptism. And lastly, and I'm going to be finish up with this. If any of y'all don't know me, this is a very abbreviated sermon today. It's just good. What's there not to talk about? It's just real. What's there not to talk about? It's life. But the last aspect I want to talk about baptism before we actually get into the pool is the aspect of being baptized into something. I love the Old Testament type of this. We find it in the book of Joshua. So if you're making notes, think about the book of Joshua. The children of Israel spent 40 years wandering. They've a generation fell through unbelief. They died in the wilderness. Although it was a supernatural existence, they still came up short because of their unbelief. And there was finally a generation that said, yes. I especially love Caleb and Joshua because they endured both generations, and the longevity is what impresses me today. Steve, gifting and talent doesn't impress me anymore because I've seen it come and go. But longevity is what impresses me. You give me somebody that's had their hand of the plowshare for 40, 50 years or 60 years. You give me a marriage that's been together for 50 years, and you got something in that. And these guys, they stayed the course their whole lives. And they come, and God tells them, he says, all right, Joshua was the leader at this time of the anywhere between 600,000 and 6 million people are the historical estimates of how many children of Israel were coming in, came out of Egypt, were going into the Promised Land. And God came and he says, I want you to circumcise all the males. So they went through the circumcision process, and it didn't matter if they were, if they were 39 or if they were 6 or 6 days old. Everybody got circumcised. And then he says, I want you to consecrate yourself and get ready because God's about to do something great. Get ready, God's about to do something great among you. And so they have these days. I want to say it was 3 days of consecration where they were getting ready. Because God was doing something. And they came to the Jordan River, and as they came to the Jordan River, now get that this is a generation that grew up hearing about the Red Sea and how God parted the Red Sea for them to go across on dry land. It was stories that were told by their parents or their grandparents. And so they come to the Jordan River, and the word says that it was in flood stage at the time. So I liken it to a very, very massive river. And God told the priest, he said, bring the Ark of the Covenant. Let the priest let their sole of their foot touch the water. And as it does, watch me work. And as they touched it, the river, it parted. And the children of Israel, however many there were, we'll just be conservative and say 600,000 people, they walked across some dry ground on the river. And they built memorials inside the river, and they did a memorial on the other bank. And then when they got across, then the river came back to its natural state. That was the baptism into something. That was the baptism into something. They weren't getting baptized out of Egypt. They had already been identified. All of the regions around, all the tribes and kingdoms around knew that the children of God, the children of Yahweh, were coming in the area, and they were fearful of them because they had heard how they had defeated the other enemies. They had heard about what had happened to Egypt. But God was baptizing them into something. He was baptizing them into their future. He was baptizing them into their destiny. He was baptizing them into who he called and created them to be. The Apostle Paul, in the book of Philippians, he talks about this in chapter 3. He said, forgetting those things that are behind me, that was the baptism from something. And I'm not just saying things that are sin nature. I failed to mention something a while ago. One thing that God wants to baptize you from, and Marty, maybe this is a word for you specifically. One thing that he wants to baptize you from is inferior mindsets. And that's not a slight on you. But we are in this metamorphosis process. I told y'all a little bit of my history, and I married her in 1983, and I loved her immensely in 1983, but in 2021, I look back on the love that I had for 1983, and it was inferior, vastly inferior to the love that I have for her now. It's a deeper love. It's a more understanding and all of that. So this being baptized into something and away from something, part of that, the Apostle Paul said, I'm forgetting those things that are behind me. I press on toward a new walk, a new calling, new ground, new territory. So he was in Philippians 3. The Apostle Paul, as accomplished as he was getting baptized into something. And God wants to baptize us into something greater, into something deeper, into something more powerful. I told the girls, I said, God wants to turn you into a pickle. Y'all know what a pickle is? Anybody know what a pickle is? Cucumber. Bones got it. It's a cucumber. Sorry, I still call her Bones. I misidentify her. Lori got it. So proud of the woman you're becoming, Lori. Me and Lori talk about it fairly regular. Every time I see a picture of you and your family, and just so, so proud. How many of y'all like pickles? I personally don't. That's one thing Lori did that grossed me out when we were dating. We'd be at the ball games, and first thing she'd do after her game was over, go get one of them old big pickles. I said, you ain't getting no sugar tonight. And I lied, but I've always made that statement. Just, I don't know, something I just don't like them. But when you're eating that pickle, all of you that love pickles, when you eat that pickle, you don't sit here and say, man, this is a great cucumber. Do you? You don't. You don't have that mindset. This is an awesome cucumber. That's something you slice up and put on a salad or put in a piece of sushi. I don't get cucumbers. It doesn't go in my sushi either. But you know the difference in a cucumber and a pickle? It's what it's soaked in. It's what it's soaked in. It's the process. It's still the same object, but it's been transformed. There are two words for baptize, Nick, and one of them is, and I'm not a Greek scholar, so I will totally butcher these things. Just trust me, there's two words. I could say it with confidence, and you'd believe me and say, dang, Sid's been studying his Greek. Babto and baptiste. How about that? That's real close. That's it, babto and baptiste. One of them means to dip. A momentary dip, and one of them is a more soaking immersion. Marinate. That's it. That's it. It's a marinating. And today, I told the girls, today is not a quick dip. The Holy Spirit is going to begin to marinate your life. And that's the being baptized into something. The word says that we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. It's the word we get metamorphosis from. And we all know what metamorphosis is, from a caterpillar to a butterfly, and the transition that takes place. That's getting baptized into something. And today, God, everybody in here, man, everybody in here, God wants to turn you from a cucumber into a pickle. But it's only through the soaking. It's only through the marinating. And that's what tomorrow's going to look like for you, because I'm only going to hold you underwater for like 180 seconds. But tomorrow, Holy Spirit wants to marinate you. It wants to marinate you. The thing about marinating, and I know your dad loves to cook, and I love to cook also, and the thing about marinating, it depends on the marinate and all that. We have to be careful how much we marinate something, because if we're not careful, the meat will take on the properties of the marinate and lose the flavor of the meat, you know. You can't keep Dale's on it too long, or it'll wind up tasting like Dale's. You know, you'll die of hardening the arteries from all the salt in it and everything. But that the opposite is true of the Holy Spirit. He wants this to be the rest of this marinating to be the rest of your life. That's what He desires it to be, is a marinating for the rest of your life. That's what He's baptizing you into, and so that when you get my age, you can come in and say, this is fresh and this is amazing, and God rocked my world. Because I'm going to tell y'all something. He rocked my world this morning when I got up. I mean, I was dead meat too, because it's been a hard 2 weeks. Good, great, but it's been hard 2 weeks. And we come back, and just to be able to walk into the sanctuary and turn on the baptistry last night and start filling up the water and turn on the heater, and it worked, and it's good. And I was up. When I come in, I'm always like, man, I hope it's hot. It is. It's hot. But to get up, and Linda, this morning, just to get up and be able to as I was cooking breakfast, just soak in the Word and look at the Word and write notes and all of that stuff, and just how I'm 59 years old. I'm not as old as Larry, but I'm 59. I'm about to hit 60, and it's fresh and it's new and it's exciting and it's amazing, and I still get wrecked by His love, Nick. I still get wrecked that I can be out working in the Harley dealership in the Black Hills, and people come up and they see something different. And a brief conversation just rolls into something power and significant. That's His Holy Spirit. It says we're just getting started in this thing. So today, as we do this, this is not a, okay, check the box, they're good. They asked Jesus into their heart, they got baptized, names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, ticket to heaven. We're good now, y'all do your thing. No. We're getting baptized into something. Marty, we're getting baptized into something. I don't know, I may get baptized next Sunday, who knows? Getting baptized into something. Getting baptized, immersed into something. So with that, I'm going to let my wife have the mic. You got something? You just look like you had something. We're good, Dan. All right, worship team. Noah, will you come on up?